Think through this question with us next on A Daily Walk.
Can I ask you a question tonight? When you have time to think, and perhaps you've had some time recently, what do you think about? What do you dream about? What do you find the majority of your time is spent? What consumes your thoughts? Have you had any thoughts about heaven? I can tell you, in the season of a national crisis, in the midst of a global pandemic, as we are being weaned from this world, I have had thoughts. What's it going to be like to be in heaven?
For me, to live is... How would you answer that, friend? Paul the Apostle would answer emphatically, Christ. And we hope that's your heart's desire as well. When it is, you can add to that, to die is gain. That's because heaven is on the horizon for the believer in Christ. Today on A Daily Walk, Pastor John Rendell encourages us to seek and think heaven. Remembering where we're going will help us in the present more than you may realize. Here with the truth about the Christian from Colossians 3 is Pastor John.
Colossians chapter 3, and we want to pick up tonight beginning in verse 1. Colossians chapter 3. Now, if you have been studying along with us, you know that in this letter that was written to the church in Colossae, that the Apostle Paul began in chapter 1 by presenting the truth about Christ. But then as you move into chapter 2, Paul began to address and even expose the truth about the cults. There were many who were making their way into the churches to seek to undermine the work of the Apostle Paul and really the message of the gospel. But now as we move into chapter 3 and into chapter 4, Paul talks about the truth concerning the Christian, the believer, the child of God. In many of his epistles, Paul would often address the doctrinal issues right up front. And then he would give instructions on how to practically apply the doctrines that he had presented. In other words, now that there was a clear doctrinal position that had been established, now it was time to practically apply these things in everyday life. How do the truths of the Bible move from the page and into my heart? How are they carried out in everyday life? And that brings us to Colossians chapter 3. If you'd look down with me, beginning in verse 1. And here Paul writes, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And when you read that phrase, "if then," it's better translated and to be understood as "since then." It's already happened. Since you have been raised with Christ. It's a fulfilled condition. In other words, it's in view of the fact that you as a Christian have been raised with Christ. This is how you are to now live. Jesus has been raised from the dead physically. But listen, you as a Christian, you have been raised from the dead spiritually, from the deadness of sin. That is why when Paul says you have been raised with Christ, he's talking about our resurrection spiritually. Here we are celebrating and remembering the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But let us not forget that we've experienced a resurrection from the deadness of sin. This phrase, raised with Christ, it's an important one. You may recall back in chapter 2 of Colossians that Paul said in verse 12, "You also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." It says that we were buried with Christ and we were raised with him. And then in verse 13 of that same chapter, Paul writes, "He made us alive together with Jesus by forgiving all of our trespasses." Now, Paul isn't saying here that we have physically died. Obviously, we're here, we're alive. We weren't physically buried with Christ in the tomb or physically resurrected. But in a spiritual context, when a person places their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Spiritually, they experience those things. Paul would write, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And now we find that we were buried with Christ, Paul said, through baptism. We've identified with Jesus. And now, spiritually speaking, we've been raised with Christ. We've experienced our own personal resurrection in a spiritual sense. And one day, we're going to experience a physical resurrection as well when we see Jesus face to face. Jesus has been raised physically from the dead, and the believer in Jesus has been raised spiritually from the deadness of our trespasses and sins. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we move from spiritual death into spiritual life. And Paul is saying, since that is where we were dead in the past, but now, because we've been raised with Christ, we are alive. How does that affect my life? How does that impact the way that I live in this world? And there are several exhortations that are given in describing, listen carefully, what it looks like to live a resurrected life. How appropriate. The first thing that Paul points out is seen here in Colossians 3, verse 1, when it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Now that I have a new life in Jesus Christ, old things are passed away. I'm no longer dead in trespasses and sins. I now have a desire to seek, to pursue the things that are above. The word seek here implies just that, a pursuit, a desire, a searching, a longing for things that are above. You remember that the psalmist wrote in Psalm 27, verse 4. He said, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The psalmist had a desire. He said, one desire. I want to seek the Lord. I want to be with the Lord. Again, the psalmist, this time in Psalm 63 in verse 1, declared, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Friend, is that your desire? Now that you've been raised spiritually with Christ, do you have a desire to seek him early? Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 55 verse 6, he exhorts us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The prophet Jeremiah also exhorts us. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 and 14. It says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. What a tremendous promise that is for the child of God who has been raised with Christ. As we seek the things that are above, the Lord said, I'm going to be found by you. It's not like the Lord saying, I'm hiding. You can't find me. Sorry, I'm not available. No, he's saying, you seek me. I want to reveal myself to you. And then, of course, Jesus exhorted us in Matthew's gospel, chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, when Paul says, seek the things that are above, it presents a contrast between those things that are heavenly and those things that are earthly, those things that are eternal and those things that are temporal. And the reason for seeking those things that are above, Paul tells us the reason, because that's where Christ is seated, in heavenly places. I've been raised with Christ, and the Bible also tells us in Ephesians that we are seated in heavenly places. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. I remember the first time I read that and understood what that meant. You right now are seated in your home. That's where you're seated. But the Bible says that Jesus sees you seated already in heavenly places. He sees where you are going to be. You see where you are, but he sees where you're going to be. What an amazing thought to think that I'm seated in heavenly places according to the perspective of heaven. What are you seeking tonight? Are you seeking only those things which are temporal? Or do you have a desire and a pursuit for the things that are eternal? Are you seeking only those things that have earthly significance and no eternal value? Do you remember that if you're a Christian, you've been raised with Christ And therefore, you want to seek after and long to be with Christ? What are you seeking this evening? Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 45, he said, "And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them. For behold, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord, but I will give your life to you as a prize in all places where you go." Interesting passage. Are you seeking great things for yourself, or do you seek the Lord? Having this heavenly perspective has an effect on one's contentment within the heart. Many are so bogged down by the cares of this life that they lose sight of actually living for heaven. But our time here on the earth, it's brief, folks. 70, 80, maybe 90 years, possibly. It's temporary. It's just a stop along the way to heaven. This is just, we're just passing through. We're in transient right now. This is so temporary compared to all that is eternal. And yet, sadly, sometimes all we live for is the temporary, which doesn't last, rather than investing in the eternal. I read an interesting story today about a Scottish preacher named John McNeil. And he liked to tell the story about an eagle that had been captured when it was quite young. There was a farmer who had actually snared the bird, and he put a restraint on it so it couldn't fly. And he turned it loose to roam in the barnyard with the rest of the chickens and other animals that were there. And the story goes that it wasn't long after that the eagle began to act like the chickens, scratching and pecking on the ground. This bird that once soared so high up in the sky and was now living and satisfied to live the barnyard lowly life. One day, this same farmer was visited by a friend of his who was a shepherd. And he came down from the mountains where the eagles lived. And he saw the eagle there restrained, and he said, he felt bad. He said, "You shouldn't be having that eagle on the ground. He was made to soar, not to peck on the ground like the chickens." And the farmer agreed, and so they decided to let him go. The farmer then cut the restraint of the eagle. And in that moment, the eagle, for a while, continued to wander around, scratching and pecking as before. But what the shepherd did is he actually picked it up and set it on a high stone wall. And for the first time in months, the eagle saw once again the grand expanse of the sky and the glowing sun. And then suddenly it spread its wings, and with a leap it soared off into a tremendous spiral flight, just up and up and up. And at last, it was acting like an eagle again. The application is clear. Perhaps you've let yourself become comfortable in the barnyard of this world, refusing to claim your lofty position as a child of God. Folks, we live on a different plane. Yes, we are in this world, but we're not of it. We're living for a city whose maker is God. We're living for something that's far more wonderful than anything this world could provide. And that is why we seek those things that are above. And soon, listen, we'll be longing to rise above the mundane things of this world. And I'll tell you something, the situation that we are in right now is weaning us off of this world. You know what the Bible says? It says that the Lord will allow us to mount up with wings like eagles so that we can soar. We're to seek those things that are above. But secondly, Paul tells us here that the resurrected life raised with Christ not only seeks the things that are above, but also we set our mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. The word set means to keep on directing your mind towards something. Keep thinking about. It speaks of a mindset, a thought process. Seeking the things above marks the practical pursuits, but setting your mind on things above speaks of the thought process, the inward impulse, the disposition. And here's the thing, it's not only seeking heaven, but it's thinking heaven. The things of the earth, they're not sinful in and of themselves, but they can become that if they take precedence over other things. The things of the earth can easily get us to lose focus and forget what our purpose is. That is why this exhortation from Paul was so critical, so important for the Colossians, because they were in this moment being confronted by teachers that were telling them to set their minds simply on the things of this earth, on the mundane, on the material. Both Gnostics and Epicurean teachers, they focused on the earthly and not the heavenly. Can I ask you a question tonight? When you have time to think, and perhaps you've had some time recently, what do you think about? What do you dream about? What do you find the majority of your time is spent? What consumes your thoughts? Have you had any thoughts about heaven? I can tell you, in the season of a national crisis, in the midst of a global pandemic, as we are being weaned from this world, I have had thoughts. What's it going to be like to be in heaven? Not just what's it going to be like when we all come back together as a church, as wonderful and as excited as I am about that. What's it going to be like when we're in the presence of Jesus? What's it going to be like to see him face to face? What's it going to be like to walk on the streets of gold? What's it going to be like to see my dad again? What's it going to be like to be with Jesus? I mean, these are the thoughts that we want to think. And the enemy knows, man, he wants to distract our thoughts, to tie us down in this thinking, dull our senses to pursue heavenly things. I need to think about my family. I need to think about my job. I need to think about my economic status at this moment. And not to say that those aren't things that we shouldn't be aware of. But listen, we want our thoughts to be on things that are eternal, ultimately, because that's where we're headed. It's a motivation. It's a way of living. It's a way of thinking. And when you really think about it, Christian, listen carefully to me tonight. Listen to what I'm about to say to you. Sooner than later, I don't know when it is, but in light of eternity, it's sooner than later, we're going to be standing face to face with Jesus, looking into his face, seeing him. We celebrate his death. We celebrate his resurrection. But folks, listen, we're going to be looking into the face of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We are going to heaven. When I was a little boy, my dad told me a story. We were getting ready to move. I was very little. We were moving from the Midwest here to Southern California. And we were at the bank, and the teller said to my dad was conversing with the lady and sharing with her that we were leaving the Midwest and moving to Southern California. And the woman, my dad tells the story, looked down at me over the counter and said, oh, you're moving to California? You're going to California? And my dad said, I looked up at her straight face and I said, no, we're going to heaven. Well, California isn't heaven, but you understand, it was just as a little child having that mentality, just thinking about heaven. Man, I need to have that childlike faith once again, thinking about things that are eternal. You know, the Bible does tell us in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 8, Paul exhorted the church there and he said, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It literally means think upon these things. Chew them over in your mind. Just think about these things. How do I set my mind on things above and seek those things above? Well, I think a couple practical ways is, in one sense, the treasures that I invest in. Jesus talked about laying up for yourselves, not treasures here on the earth where they can easily be destroyed or stolen, but to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where nothing can touch them. What I invest in, what I treasure, usually is what you think about. Whatever you value, whatever consumes your thoughts, and maybe that amazing ride, that car that you've been working on for years that is currently undergoing the second law of thermodynamics, falling apart like everything else. Don't run out, stay in the service. But what I'm saying to you is, these things they're coming to nothing. But what I invest in and what I think about, that's where my treasure is. But I'll tell you something else, and this might come as a surprise to you. Not only the treasures that we invest in, but can I say to you the trials that we go through? The trials that we go through can help us become, and at times, homesick for heaven. If it weren't for the trials, if it weren't for the daily difficulties, if it weren't for the season of quarantine, if it weren't for a global pandemic that sadly the world is experiencing right now, as difficult as it is, if it weren't for perpetual problems and bumps in the road, we'd never long for the streets of gold. Daily aches and pains keep us longing for a new body. That's why Paul said to the Romans in chapter 8, I consider that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. Some of you tonight, you're going through some very dark valleys. You're going through some deep waters, some blazing fire of trial and testing. And the Lord is working in your life, and he's working in my life again to get my eyes off of all that is here and get me looking up. And sometimes it takes what we're experiencing right now to get us to the point where we will actually look up and seek him. Paul says, you've been raised with Christ. You're a resurrected man or woman. And therefore you set your mind on things above. You seek the things that are above, because that's where Christ is seated.
As we draw today's edition of A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall to a close, I have just a few things to tell you about that you might be interested in. What you heard today is one part of a series of studies based in Colossians. Call us if you'd like a CD copy at 877-242-0828. You can also listen to A Daily Walk online at adailywalk.org. And we also have an app that makes listening and viewing messages really easy through your mobile device. It's available on Google Play, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Roku. Just do a search for CCSJC. We have an exciting announcement. Pastor John has a new podcast called Spread the Word. Don't miss these weekly podcasts as John shares his thoughts on current events through the lens of the Bible and spreads the word about Jesus. Look for it on Apple or Google Podcasts or Spotify. I should add, A Daily Walk is available by podcast too. Not long ago, Pastor John delivered a timely series called Courage is Contagious. And we have a t-shirt we'd like to offer you today that has that phrase beautifully portrayed on the front of it. You might think of it as a way of encouraging yourself and those around you to be courageous for Christ in these difficult days. The cost is $15. You can order that by calling 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828, or just visit adailywalk.org and look for our e-store. If you can include a little extra, that would be greatly appreciated. As people are looking for hope and encouragement right now, we believe God is using radio and the internet in even greater ways. With your help, we're able to provide that to them. So thank you. Again, donations can be made at adailywalk.org or by calling 877-242-0828. Let's return to Colossians chapter 3 now.
Paul goes on to say in verse 3, another reason. Why do I set my mind on things above? Pastor John, why should I set my mind on things above? Well, you've been raised with Christ. You're a new creation. But then Paul also gives us another reason right here in verse 3 when he said, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Again, interesting passage here. Paul's talking about resurrection spiritually. He's talking about death spiritually. We didn't actually die with Christ on the cross. We weren't there. We're still alive right now. If you're watching this, you are alive. But here it says, in a spiritual sense, we die. When I place my faith in Christ and believed in him, what he did for me on the cross, paid for my sins, died in my place. When I believed in him in a spiritual sense, guys, listen, my sins were crucified with Christ. I was crucified with him. I've identified with him. Therefore, that old person is dead. You're a different person now that you're in Christ. Before you were in Christ, you were a different person, but when you identify with Christ, the old person, it's as if I may say, there's a funeral for who you used to be. John Randall died. That is the old one. But I'm a new man in Christ. I've been resurrected, as it were, spiritually in Jesus. And now my life is wrapped up in him. I'm hidden. I love that. I'm hidden in him. My life in that secret place. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that old person who we are might be done away with, in order, notice what it says, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. We're to seek the things that are above. We're to set our mind on the things above, because very shortly, we're going to be standing before the Savior who is above.
Well, that's all the time we have for today, but come back next time when Pastor John Randall will again open and study the book of Colossians with us. A Daily Walk is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano.